I invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 18 as we get started this morning. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for her to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. He said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress some meat in my sight, that I may eat it, or see it and eat it at her hand.' So Amnon lay down, made himself sick. When the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, 'I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand.' And David sent home to Tamar, saying, 'Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat.' So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour, and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. She took a pan, and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. When she had brought them unto him to eat, as he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. She answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, with it shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. She said unto him, There is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me, but he would not hearken unto her. And he called his servants that ministered unto him, and said, Put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out, and bolted the door after her." Let's pray. Father, this is another one of those instances in Scripture where we'd rather pass over, would rather not read about this, but Father, you have included in this in your word for a reason. We know that your purposes, your ways are far better than ours, far higher than ours. So Father, help us to understand this morning the things that we need to learn from this passage. Help us to be focused on your word. Father, please remove distractions in our minds that will keep us from understanding your truth this morning. Pray you'd help me to be clear and accurate, and I pray that you would be honored and glorified in the things that we learn, the things that we see about you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about the choices that we make. And every day, every one of us is faced with choices. Some of the daily choices we face don't have a lot of long-term consequences. For instance, I get up in the morning, I decide what am I going to wear. Okay, I can change that choice the next day. What am I going to eat for breakfast? Okay, is there Emily, what are you going to eat for supper? Okay, those choices don't always have a lot of long-term consequences. There's other choices that we make affect us longer than just the end of the day. For instance, how I'm going to spend my free time, what I'm going to allow entertainment, what entertainment am I going to expose myself to? Who am I going to associate with in my social time? Where will I go to college? Where will I work? Where will I live? Those things have longer range consequences. But then there are choices that we live with for the rest of our lives. Who will I marry? Will I live according to the law, or will I choose to break the law? There's one choice that we must make that will affect us for all eternity. Will I accept Christ as my Savior, or will I reject his gift of salvation that he offers me? To accept him means I will spend eternity with him in heaven. To reject him means I will spend eternity separated from him in the lake of fire, in eternal torment and darkness. So we all face choices. But in this chapter, we have two main characters, Amnon and Absalom. Both of them were sons of David by two different women. Amnon was next in line to the throne. If you look at 2 Samuel chapter 3, we see that. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2. It says, unto David were sons born in Hebron, and his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. Go on in verse 3, his second, Chilia of Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite, and the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. And so we see here that Absalom was third in line. So we have Amnon first in line, Absalom third in line. Now, some commentators believe that something would happen to the second line, so Absalom would have been right after Amnon. We don't have any proof of that, so we're not going to go there. Nonetheless, Absalom was going to be on the throne at one point. Absalom was born into a royal line. He was born into the line of David. He was born into the line of Talmai, king of Geshur. But both men had problems with moral character. Now, to say it plainly, they were immoral. Now, immorality is most often associated with sexual impropriety, but it goes further than that. We are guilty of immorality each time we treat a person as a thing, and then we invest things with a value that properly belongs to people. To use people to serve our own ends is immoral. When our needs or desires or our wants are elevated above what is best for others, then we become self-serving and we are guilty of immorality. So these men were both immoral. The problem we have in our society today is that people are allowing society to define morality, which is the principles of right and wrong. What is right? What is wrong? Well, it's come to the point where man says, well, I believe this is right, and I believe this is wrong. And the next guy says, well, I believe this is right, and this is wrong. And they say, okay, fine. What have they done? They've thrown out the standard that's been set up already, that God had already established, that what is right is what is wrong. Both of these men made choices that brought life-impacting consequences. In fact, both of their lives ended by murder. In each situation, we see the justice of God bringing upon them the consequences of the wrong choices. I want to look this morning, first of all, at the choices that are made. And I don't want to go through this briefly, but first of all, look at Amnon. Look at the choices he made as we read through these verses. The first thing we see is Amnon chose to feed his lusts and neglect self-control in verses 1 and 2. He said he had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. He chose to follow his lust. He chose to neglect self-control. He knew Tamar could not legally, rightly be given to him to wife. But he still loved her. He still lusted after her. He didn't really love her, as true love is, but he lusted after her. Secondly, we see Amnon chose to associate with and follow the advice of a crafty friend. You know, associations and friends are so important. But Amnon chose to associate himself with Jonadab in verses 3 through 5. And it says in the end of verse 3, Jonadab was a very subtle man. A very subtle man, very crafty, very clever. And then we see, thirdly, Amnon chose to deceive his father. You see, David came when Amnon was sick, laying in bed, and Amnon said, "Oh, I need Tamar to come and feed me." He was deceiving his father. He wasn't sick. He was wrong. He was immoral, but he wasn't sick. And then we see Amnon in verse 10 chose to deceive Tamar. He wanted Tamar to come. "Oh, can you come in and feed me?" It's like this little kid, "Mom, can you feed me?" He just said, "I need you to come in. I'm so weak. Just come in and feed me." We see he deceived Tamar. But then we see in verses 11 through 14, he chose to defile Tamar. He chose to take away her purity, her virginity. And then we see the last choice here. Amnon chose to respond in hatred and anger toward Tamar. In more hatred and anger that he had than the love, compared to the love that he had beforehand. He chose to respond in hatred and anger. But look at verses 20 through 29. Look at the choices that Absalom made. Verse 20 says, "Absalom, her brother, said unto her, 'Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing.' So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. It came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, 'Behold, now thy servant hath sheep shears. Let the king, I beseech thee, and his servants go with thy servant.' And the king said to Absalom, 'Nay, my son, let us not all now go, lest we be chargeable unto thee.' And he pressed him, howbeit he would not go, but blessed him. Then said Absalom, 'If not, I pray thee, let my brother Amnon go with us.' And the king said unto him, 'Why should he go with thee?' But Absalom pressed him that he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, 'Mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him, fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant.' And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled." And so we see here Amnon made some wrong choice, or Absalom made some wrong choices as well. First of all, we see Absalom chose to keep the matter quiet from David. He said, "Tamar, you just stay in my house. You just keep this quiet. You just stay here with me. Everything, I'll take care of it." And that's the second. We see also Absalom chose to harbor hatred toward Amnon. He said he didn't speak good or bad. He hated Amnon. So Absalom chose to harbor hatred. Verse 22. Down in verses 23 to 27, we see that Absalom chose to take vengeance on Amnon. You see, he didn't choose to do it rightly. He chose to take it into his own hands. He chose to take vengeance. And again, we see in 24 to 27, Absalom chose to deceive David. And he wanted David to come down to this feast that he was throwing, not telling him why, not telling the underhanded reason he had to bring the king and his sons down. And then we see in verses 28 and 29 that Absalom chose to murder Amnon. Yes, he had his servants do it, but nonetheless, he was the one that orchestrated it. He initiated the whole process. So both of these men made choices. But secondly, I want to see this morning the observations about choices and about the ones that are made here, about ones that we make. You know, everything in the Bible, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, everything in the Bible is included, recorded for a purpose. Romans 15, verse 4 tells us what that purpose is. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." So they're written so that we may know how to live. We might know how we should act, how we should think, how we should talk. And then we need to follow godly examples, and we need to reject the ungodly examples. The things recorded in this passage reveal the true heart of man and how he seeks to serve his own lusts and place himself in a position of power, even over God. But by the way, that will never happen. But man seeks to serve his own lusts. But what are some important principles we can learn from this chapter here? First of all, we can see that choices must be made from the right source. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." That's the wrong source. We're not to take our counsel from that source. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Let me read that for you. James 3, 13 through 18. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." And so we see here that tells us the fruit of worldly wisdom and compared to the fruit of godly wisdom. And so choices must be made from the right source. You see, Amnon was making his choices based on the lusts of his flesh, and so he was headed down the wrong path from the beginning. He was also following the counsel of his subtle, crafty friend, which was a poor source also. Genesis 3, verse 1 tells us of another subtle creature who deceived Eve. It says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the serpent came to Eve and was subtle in deceiving her and thinking something that wasn't true. Now, was it Satan's fault that Eve sinned? No. Eve still had to make the choice. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 10 talks about the subtle woman who comes and seduces the young, simple man. But what happened? Whose choice was it to make? He allowed himself to follow the wrong counsel and to give into his flesh. Again, the choice was his to make. Absalom also made wrong choices because he started from a root of hatred and anger and possibly envy toward his brother and possibly covetousness for the throne because he had to follow his brother to the throne. But he started out with that root of hatred, envy and anger toward his brother. We see in Psalm 119, verses 130, what is the right source? If it's not... As Psalm 1:1 says, if it's not the worldly wisdom, what is the right source? Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." In 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We see here those are the right source. The Word of God is the source that we need to make, our source for counsel, our source for what choices we should make. And if they don't line up with the Word of God, we need to change our choice. But not only must our choices be made from the right source, our choices may be irreversible. You see, Amnon's choice to defile Tamar could not be reversed. Absalom's choice to murder Amnon was permanent. There was no going back. In Genesis chapter 4, when Cain killed Abel because his offering was not accepted like Abel's was, he had to live with that the rest of his life. In Genesis chapter 16, when Abraham chose to have a child by Hagar, there was nothing he could do to change that once that child was conceived. In Amnon's defilement of Tamar, he could have rejected the counsel of Jonadab. He could have been honest with David and changed his plans. He could have heeded Tamar's pleas and let her go. Absalom also could have exposed the whole thing to David and allowed it to be dealt with in a just manner, but he chose to deal with it himself. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So there is always a time in our decision-making process that we can change the direction of our course. We can change the decision we make before we make that choice. The third thing I want us to see is choices have consequences. As this chapter clearly shows, the choices a person makes has consequences. Consider the life of Jacob, Genesis chapter 27. When Jacob saw the opportunity and he went and deceived his father so that he could receive the blessing from his father, what did he have to do? He had to run. He had to run for his life. And so who does he go to? He goes to his uncle Laban's house. What a refuge, right? He goes to Laban, and for 20 years, what does he deal with? One deception after another. One deception after another. What happened with Jacob's sons? They brought Joseph's coat to him. He said he must have been killed by a wild beast. What is that? Deception. See, Jacob had made a choice long before to be deceitful. His choices had consequences. But on a positive note, Abraham obeyed God in Genesis chapter 12. God said, Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. What does it say? Abraham went. He obeyed and went. He didn't know where God would have him to go, but he obeyed and he went. And as a result, God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you and make your name great. And through your descendants, you will be a blessing. We see also Naaman the Syrian in 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman comes to the prophet Elijah and he said, I have leprosy. I need to be healed of my leprosy. Prophet says, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman says, why? Do you realize who I am? And one of his soldiers said, hey, if he had asked you to do something hard, would you have done it? Naaman says, okay, you're right. So Naaman goes, he dips in the Jordan River 7 times. He comes out, he's healed of his leprosy. He made the choice to obey. He made the choice to follow that godly counsel. Amnon and Absalom had both received the just consequences of their sin when they were put to death. You see, they had made choices, and those choices ended up leading to their death. And even though the sentence was carried out unjustly, we see that God even uses the sinful acts of men to accomplish his will. So choices have consequences. And finally, this morning, I want us to see the consequences of choices can be far-reaching. You know, some people think, well, my choices are only going to affect me. They won't affect anybody else. Remember Abraham in Genesis 16? He had a child by Hagar. The nation of Israel has had contention with the descendants of Ishmael ever since. That's a far-reaching consequence of a choice that was made. Amnon's choice severely affected Tamar, Absalom, and David. Absalom's choices affected Amnon, David, Tamar, Absalom's servants, Jonadab, and the rest of the king's sons, but it also caused a rift in his relationship with David for the rest of his life. Think about Jonadab. Jonadab made the choice to give that ungodly counsel to Amnon. Look at how many people it affected. It was far-reaching consequences. As we think back on our lives, I just think back on my life and I think of how many choices I've had to make that were significant. And some of those things I see the result of today. But I look back and I say, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you love me enough that you, yes, you allow the consequences of my choices to come back to me. But thank you for your mercy in allowing me to confess those sins and allow your grace and your mercy to take place in my life. I want us to turn to John chapter 10 this morning as we close and ask the men to come for the Lord's Supper.